Good morning. And as the psalmist would say, and you can finish this sentence, this is the day that the Lord has made. Someone has suggested that we sing that. We probably might practice that a little bit before we try singing it, but this truly is the day that our Lord has made. And I don't know about you, but the last couple of days have been absolutely gorgeous. And so, I know for all of the brides and grooms that we have had this past weekend, they have certainly enjoyed having God shine down on them. And so it is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Kathy and I both, and Tim and Gary, we're all a wee bit tired, but you know, the best thing to get you out of tiredness real quickly is to baptize a baby. Just doesn't get any better than that. And so this morning we come and we give thanksgiving for our new little sister in Christ. And at the end of the service, we will welcome her into our family. I want you to take a moment to look in your bulletin. There are several announcements. And while you're doing that, I want to say welcome, first of all, to the family who are gathered here for this wonderful occasion. It's always good to see you here, and we're glad that you are here this morning. And Carlos and Jasmine, we are doubly pleased that you are here this morning to celebrate not only this service with us, but to share your gifts with us. In the bulletin, you will notice that, this is just hard to say after the last 2 days we've had, next Sunday, we will decorate for Christmas. And so if you will stay after the worship service, those of you who are available and able, a lunch will be provided for you, and then we will come in and begin to set up the sanctuary. So no one has claim on that, so we'll take any help that we can get, and that's always welcome. I think that we have an announcement from Charlotte.
Morning. I know what you're thinking. They gave that woman a microphone again. I'm here to talk to you about two things. First, can you boil water? If the answer to that is yes, then I need your help. I am three short on people to sign up for serving the session. Once again, two of my people have decided to serve God instead, and so they're not going to be available to do session lunch. And so if you can boil water and throw a cup of macaroni in it, I'll help you open the can of chili, and we will get those people served. But I need three more people to sign up. Secondly, Christmas Village is coming, and you know that my Christmas Village thing is books. And I've always stood in front of you and said, please bring, clean out your bookshelves and let me take it to Half Price Books. Please don't clean out your bookshelves, and I don't want to take it to Half Price Books. They are not paying anything. Tomorrow, the Hubs and I are going to take a wall, literal wall, of books to Half Price Books, and I guarantee they're not going to give us $12.50 for it. So please don't bring me your books. So what do I need? I need you to buy books for little people. Our people this year range in age from 5 to 14. I can handle the 14-year-olds. I know what they read. Until they get a 5-year-old to read Hamlet, I'm dead in the water on that. So I need books for kids. I need books in Spanish because we have a lot of parents who really, really, really want to read to their kids, but they can't because they can't. They need the books in Spanish. So I need that. Or if you are like me and going into the children's department of any store makes your skin crawl, then you can put some money in an envelope, a pew envelope, and mark it books. We have to do it that way this time. Some of you have just handed me cash in the past, but it turns out we have an accountant and a line item, and they get really irritated.
You know what those books
What goes good with books?
Blankets.
Wait a minute. Wait, stop right where you are, and let us all appreciate the irony of Catherine with a blanket.
Who built a blanket fort?
Who knocked your blanket fort down?
Okay. Kids love to curl up with books. It makes them feel warm and safe. Curl up with a blanket with a book. It makes you feel warm and safe. Think back to your childhood. We'll give you a few extra minutes. You know you love to curl up with a blanket. Please help those in need. There are people that aren't able to curl up with blankets. They're not able to build forts. They're outside. They're cold. There are some inside that don't have the privileges that we have. So if you think about a blanket, what is it, $10? We $10 for a blanket? We can do that. That's a fast food meal, right? Who needs that? If you do the same thing that you would do for the books, if you want to give cash, you can put it in a pew envelope and mark it blankets. We can wrap some up and educate them at the same time. Thanks.
One last thing about Christmas Village. If you will notice on the back tables, we still have our sheep and our angels. Our angels are for clothing. Our sheep this year are for pajamas. So if you've not had the opportunity to go back and to check on those, we invite you to do that. Our prayer concerns this morning, you see those that are listed on there. My nephew has had both of the bottom lobes of his lungs removed and is in critical condition. And so I ask that you keep Larry in your prayers. And then Lois Bird has fractured her lower back and is having surgery next week. I don't have all of the details yet, but as soon as I find those out, we will let you know. But please keep Lois in your prayers. And then I learned this morning that Rose Kraft, Kevin Kraft's mother, Rhonda's mother-in-law, has been placed on hospice care, and they are just waiting at this moment to see how things go. And so this morning, we have concerns, we have great, great joys. It's good to see the beginning of life. It is good that we have our young adults who are starting new life, and we know that at the end of Rose's life, that she will be with her Creator again. And so we give thanksgiving to God. And as we prepare to worship, I ask that you close your eyes, you still your bodies, and let us pray. How great is your love, Lord, that you have lavished upon us, so much so that we are called your children. And what a joy that is. Lord, we ask this morning that you will help us be the bearers, the bringers, the doers of peace in this world that so needs it. For our little ones, for those who are navigating the new waters of new beginnings, and Lord, for those who need peace at the end of their journey. We will find you, Lord, in the waters that save and the waters that heal and in the waters that claim us as your children. And for that, thank you. Amen. Welcome to this place. Welcome to this place as we gather with all of God's children. Welcome to this place where all is made ready by our God. And y'all can sit. Okay. The world teaches us many ways to love, but all are based on selfish desires and needs. God teaches us how to love completely, uniquely, unconditionally. Let us confess our difficulty in loving as God teaches us as we pray, saying, good news for us that God not only hears our prayers, God hears our cries. And because God hears both of us, those, he has sent us Jesus Christ to give us this new life of abundance and this new life of grace. And so this morning, may we open our hearts, our very lives up to that grace that has been given to us so that we can be reminded that our sins have already been buried in the waters of baptism. Thanks be to God. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Amen. Gracious God, as your church, as your children gathered in this place, we know that you have declared your kingdom is among us. Open our eyes to see it, our ears to hear it, our hearts to hold it, and our hands to serve it. Speak to us now through your Spirit and remind us again of the family you created us to be. In the name of the one who saves us, we pray. Amen.
The epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 3 through 11. You are welcome to follow along in your pew Bible. However, I am going to be reading from the Message version that Eugene Peterson has written. And so, hear these words now from the Lord. This is what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water is like the burial of Jesus. And when we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by God our Father so that we can see where we are going in this new wonderful life of grace that we have been given. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Jesus, a decisive end to that sin-miserable life. No longer has sin been at our beck and call. What we believe now is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. And we know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of everlasting life. Never again will death be the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive he brings God to us. From now on, let's think of it this way. Sin now speaks a dead language that means nothing to us. God speaks our language, and we are called to hang on every word. We are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord lasts forever. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. They touch my heart. Our New Testament reading is Mark 10, 13 through 16. And I'm going to read from the Message. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, it is on page 46. The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples sent them away. But Jesus was upset and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. Then gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them.
This baptism couldn't have taken place on a far better day than today, at least for me. I'm being a little bit selfish. At our house yesterday, we had from ages 7 to 10 weeks, 11 children. And so I have been surrounded by children all weekend long, and it is wonderful. And to have this new child added to my family and to all of our families is such a joy. So, as we listen for the message that the Lord has for us this morning, I pray that you will think about your own baptisms, that you will think about all of those children and all of those grandchildren, and for some of you, your great-grandchildren who have been around your knees. Those children, God has already blessed. And God says, do not stop anyone from letting those children come to me. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Will Willimon, but he is a United Methodist bishop, or he was. He is now retired. He also used to be the dean of the chapel at Duke University. He is a great storyteller, but he is even a better, much grander, much greater preacher. And he served at one time before he went to Duke University, a small rural church in South Carolina. And before I go on any further with his story, I want to say in the beginning that I am going to be fully aware that story that I'm about to share of Willimon's may be an indictment against the way we do things orderly and decently and in order in the Presbyterian Church. But you know what? I'm not willing to give up that decently and in order. But perhaps we Presbyterians and Methodists and UCC and churches of all Reformed faith, just perhaps we could learn a little bit about letting the Spirit loose and let the Spirit lead us. So, apparently, there was a man who lived next to the church, and we're going to call him Tom. Tom was known to hit the bottle a little bit. His house was in ill repair. There were broken down cars all over the yard, and the church had helped him through many years. They had even paid for his children to go to church camp, but somehow life just never seemed to change for him. But then one day, someone noticed that Tom's yard didn't look quite the same. It was cleaned up. It even had some of those much-needed repair works done on it. Willimon says he remembers walking into the church office that day and kind of looking over and said, "Well, it's a good start, at least." And then he said later that day, he was walking into the grocery store, and a man that Willimon did not recognize at that particular moment looked at him, and he said, "Hello, Pastor." And Willimon looked at him, and he said, "Tom, is that you?" He was clean shaven. He had on clean clothes. He was walking a straight line, Willimon quipped. And he says, "Wow, you look great." He said, "Well, Pastor, I've been saved." Well, you know, we people in the Reformed faith. Willimon says, "From what, Tom?" And he says, "Well, you know what from, Pastor. I've been saved from hell. But mostly, I've been saved from the hell that I have put my family through. I've been saved from the hell that was my life. I have been born again. I am fire baptized. No more of this other mess in my life anymore. You know, Pastor, I just cannot deny that this is a miracle, and I owe it all to the church." Willimon said he was about to get sort of puffed up with pride, and he says, "You know, that church down the street." And Willimon says, "Oh, the non-denominational fundamentalist fanatic church?" And he said, "Yeah, that one." He says, "Well, gosh, Tom, I sure wish our church could have helped you." And he said, "You know, that church down the street, it's a little bit narrow-minded, doesn't believe quite what we think." Tom just looked at him and said, "Oh, you know, Pastor, don't feel bad. Most of the churches around here wouldn't even have me. But at least your church, you offered me an aspirin. But what I really needed was an overhaul. I had to die before I could live abundantly." And I agree with that. But I don't want to lose sight that in our Reformed understanding of faith and baptism, we are called to live life abundantly before we are called to live life after death. Salvation is already ours. As Paul says, God saw to that in that unfathomable kind of grace that he gave to us in Jesus Christ. We don't have to earn anything, and we know that. We don't have to live our lives in order to get into heaven. What we do have to do is to understand that God's kingdom is already here. There's a little piece of heaven under each one of our feet. It's no coincidence that God says you are walking on holy ground. It's already here. But God says you need to start acting like it. Our responsibility, our gratitude is to live like the saved children that we already are. And if we're doing that, we call it discipleship. And what does discipleship look like? Well, it looks like being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then going out and teaching new disciples what it means to come and to live the love of the Lord and to give thanksgiving, because we know that our beginning all the way to our ending, the Lord is with us at all times and in all places. As I was reading through this passage and as I was looking at some commentaries, it was really kind of hard for me to do this particular passage because I think Paul is really harsh in here. And as I started thinking about baptizing this beautiful child, little Mackenzie Claire, this morning, I thought, man, I don't know that I want to preach Paul's harsh words. Because what Paul says is, you shouldn't try to not sin anymore. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. You've been buried with Christ, so don't sin. And suddenly we find ourselves in these sort of deep theological waters, and we think about the waters of baptism. Paul asked these Christian Romans, he said, well, what in the world happened to you when you went under the water in baptism? Did it change you? Did it make a difference in you? Paul says, what happened to the men and women who have been baptized and given a new chance to live life right here and now? And again, I agree with Paul to a point, but what I also know is that I'm a sinner. I am a sinner saved by grace. And all of my life, I am going to keep sinning. I'm not perfect. There's only one perfect, and that is Jesus. But Paul is right when he says, we don't have an option to try to live without sin. When we enter the waters of baptism, whether that be at 1 month old or 1 year old or 10 years or at 80, there is that sort of death to self that happens. It is in that miraculous moment that we are offered this newness and, for some of us, renewal of life the way that God intended it to be. I can only speak for myself, but throughout all of my years of living, I have found myself saying, I can't go on this way. Something has to change. Something in me at different times in my life has had to die. And it doesn't have to be anything that's dramatic. It can simply be as easy. And for me, I do this a lot. For me, it's changing my attitude. It's looking in the mirror and saying, in yourself, can you see the face of God? And if you cannot, then I need to change. That's called new life. And she's saying amen down here. I love it. The very first thing that Paul did after he regained his sight And remember, he had not eaten for a while, and his belly was hungry. But before he filled his belly, he went and he was baptized. For Paul and for the Christian faith ever since then, the waters of baptism have been that. I'm sorry. Can you all hear her? She's just singing away. But the waters of baptism have been those things that separate us from sin. They're the things that give us that power of resurrection, that encouragement, that support, that energy that we need to live in new life and confidence. Today, what we're doing is we're promising our lives and our renewed lives in this place at this time to become mentors, to become disciples for Mackenzie. Yes, we are. We are promising that before we die, we are going to live life, and we're going to live it in such a way that Mackenzie understands what it means to be blessed by God. For most of us, this is going to be our only contact with her. We will see her today. But that doesn't matter, because what you are promising today is that this is your child now. You're going to pray for her even when you don't see her. You're going to think of her singing and ooing and cooing even when you don't see her. We have every reason to believe that there is something miraculous that is going to happen in a few moments. We may not see it with our eyes, but what we know is that when we place that water on Mackenzie Clare's head, the heavens are going to open up, and God is going to say, "You are my child, and I love you." What we promise today to Mackenzie, as we promise to her big brother, is that we will walk in life abundant, not waiting for some end result in heaven, but that we will walk right now in the newness of life, and that you and I, not only for ourselves, but for this precious child of God, we are going to choose life abundant long before we ever choose death. May the blessings of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us, all who are gathered here, and most especially with our new and upcoming preacher, little Miss Mackenzie Clare. Amen.
Would y'all stand with me as we say what we believe using the Apostles' Creed? Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended to heaven. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He stood at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God the Holy Ghost?
As we open our hearts up to prayer in God this morning, we already know that those prayers God has heard, And so this morning, for the gifts of joy, for those concerns that we have, may we trust God's answers and God's timing and God's grace for how those will be answered. Let us go to our God in prayer. God of grace and God of glory, you created us from the dust of the earth. You breathed your life into us, and you have made us your own, your very children. And Lord, we are grateful for all of the ways that you have told those around us, those in the world who would keep us from coming to you, how you have said, do not keep them away from you. And Lord, only we can ask this morning that we as adults do not hinder these little ones that are around us. And Lord, not just little ones in age, but little ones in stations of life. Those who don't have the privileges that we have. Those who don't have the blankets that we have. Those who don't have the families and the shelter. All of the ways, God, that the world tries to keep them from being blessed. Make us channels of your blessing. Teach us, Lord, that to walk humbly with you means that we love with your love, not the love of the world, and that most often we have to ask for that kind of love because we are human and we are sinners saved by grace. But we need you, Lord, to be that measuring stick for us that says, for all peoples, in all places, and for all times, you are love for them. This is what our Lord taught us. This is what he has taught us in discipleship, through the waters of baptism, through his teaching, through his ministry, but most of all, just how he lived. And so now we join our voices together, remembering that prayer that he has taught us that says, you have given us everything that we need. And all we need do is continue to turn to you. And so now, Lord, hear the prayers of our voices and those of our hearts as together we say, wonderful thing about God is that God asks us to be partners in ministry. And as we sit here today, we partner with God in so very many ways. We have offered our lives, we have offered our talents, we have offered our gifts. This morning, as we come to this time of offering, not just of money, but of all of ourselves, may we give to God the very best that we have. Because God has already given us the very best of self.
Thank you. We offer our gifts to you as well as our lives, God, so that they might find their way to those who need your grace, your hope, your joy, and your peace in their lives. Amen.
If you all will come and gather. Here's another one of those things that seems like just another ritual, just something that we are going to do. But we're doing something more than a ritual. What we are doing is promising that you and I are going to love this little one like we promised to love her little brother, or her big brother, and that we are going to remember that in the waters of baptism, we are reminded that we are renewed by God's grace. We are given a new start by the power of the Spirit. Oh my goodness. And that what we are doing is making a pledge here and now that we are going to love Mackenzie Clare just like she is our own. As we prepare to put the waters of baptism, these very ordinary waters, into this baptismal bowl, they become holy, Alana and Cameron, because this child is a holy child of God. And I'm going to ask that each one of you take a turn and pour a little bit. And Mom, I'm going to start with you. Just pour, just a little bit. And Dad. These are the waters of baptism, the waters that remind us for all times our sins have been washed away, and all we need do is to try to live as the Lord has asked of us.
On behalf of the session, I present Mackenzie Clare Carter, daughter of Alana and Cameron Carter, sister to Ethan, to receive the sacrament of baptism. Alana and Cameron, putting your whole trust in the grace and love of Jesus Christ, do you desire that Mackenzie be baptized?
We do.
Relying on God's grace, you promise to love the Christian faith and to teach that faith to her.
We do.
I'm going to invite every elder in the congregation to please stand. And I'm going to ask you this very serious question. Do you promise, and I'll even make that a little bit stronger after the sermon last week, do you make a commitment to live the Christian life that will help this young couple support Mackenzie, encourage her, and let her become the faithful Christian that her family has been to her already? If you will, say, we do. And congregation, if you will please rise. Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ here at Eastminster, promise and make a commitment to guide and to nurture Mackenzie by word and deed with love and prayer and encourage her in ways that will help her know what it means to follow in the footsteps of the Lord? If you will, say, we do.
We do.
Amen. You may be seated. Just as we offer thanksgiving over the elements when we serve communion, we offer thanksgiving for the gift of these waters. So let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are the creator of the universe. You were at the beginning with your Spirit moving over the waters and creating all of life and then nurturing and sustaining it. In the time of Noah, you destroyed the wicked with water. By fire and cloud, you led the Israelites across the Red Sea out of slavery, but you led them to the Promised Land. And in the waters of the River of Jordan, you baptized your son by sending John, your anointed one. And in our Lord, we saw the Spirit rest upon him. And by the baptism of his own death and resurrection, he set us free from sin and opened us up not to just joy of everlasting life, but joy for life at this very moment and in every moment. And so as the Spirit was sent as the first gift for those who believe, so too Christ sends us out now to proclaim the good news to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we thank you, God, for the water with which you bless us. And we pray that Mackenzie, through these waters of life, will live in your grace. Send now your Spirit upon us and upon this water and all who are gathered here, that we may be one in Christ. Amen. And Alana and Cameron, these questions for you. Do you desire to have Mackenzie baptized in such a way that you will reaffirm your faith and you will renounce anything that separates you from God? And turning to God and turning away from those things that are of the world, do you promise to raise her to the best of your ability in the faith? And do you promise to remind her that the two of you have turned to Christ as your Lord and Savior and live that love for her? Little Miss Mackenzie Claire Harder, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Miss Mackenzie, precious child of God. Yes. You have been baptized through the waters, and you are now Christ's own child. Yeah. Let's pray. Miss Mackenzie, sweet child of God, you are a blessing for your mommy and your daddy, for your grandparents, for all of your family that loves you, and now for all of your new family that's going to love you. I pray, Lord, that you will send your Spirit upon this child, that she will know always and forever that not only is she loved by her family, but most of all that she is loved by you. And Lord, don't let anyone keep this child away from you. Amen. Mackenzie Claire Carter, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are a beloved child of God. And Ethan. Hello. Got a strong grip there like Daddy. Ethan, do you want to walk down with me? You want to have them meet your sister? Just walk this way. Say welcome. And if you couldn't hear what I could hear up there, then you may need to listen to the recording from Sunday or from this week, because this little girl was singing. And she was laughing, and she was preaching, and she was praying. This is your child. This is my child. Oh my gosh. And we're going to turn. There you go. Maybe we'll keep it on. What you have done today is make a very serious commitment. And like I said, for many of us, we may not see Mackenzie. I hope, Alana and Cameron, that we do get to see her more often and to see her big brother too. But just know that for the times that you don't see us, you all are in our prayers. This little one has been in our prayers, and we will keep her in ours also. So, at the end of this service, you have a new family member. And I pray that you will join me at the end of the service and that you will greet her with the love that the children of God deserve. But more than that, just the love that this little one needs to make it in this world. We love you, Mackenzie. And she's about asleep. Let's go back here. And I'm not sure what better blessing than we can do than for all of us to stand and say the blessing that we say together. This time, don't turn to one another. This time, turn to this family and remind them that it is the Lord that surrounds them. The living Lord is with you. Behind you, encouraging you. Beside you, befriending you. Above you, watching over you. Within you, giving you the gifts of faith and hope and love. The Lord is beneath you, holding you. And Alana and Cameron, the Lord is always going to be in front of you, showing you the way. Amen.